So I am Jessica Kendall. I am the Outreach Director for Enroll America. And as was mentioned earlier, we are a... Oh, and I also don't have any relationships to disclose.
Robert, would you adjust
the microphone? Is it on?
Yeah, I think you just have to lean in a little bit.
All right, how's that? Is that a little bit better?
It does seem like it turned off, doesn't it?
So if I speak up like this, can you hear me better?
We'll go find someone.
Okay, so I'll get started. Sounds like there's a little bit of an echo, and hopefully you'll be able to hear me. So Enroll America is a national organization. We are nonprofit. We are nonpartisan. And our goal really is to make sure that Americans get enrolled into health coverage that's been made affordable by the Affordable Care Act. There's so many seats up front, if you guys don't mind moving up, just so we can try to overcome these tech barriers. Yeah, and if folks in the back, there's front row seats, second, third row seats. And the tech folks are hopefully on the way. Awesome. All right, so can you hear me at all in back? A little bit? Okay. So what we're doing at Enroll America is doing our best to reach out and find uninsured Americans. And really, because our mission is so narrow of that public education campaign, making sure that the uninsured Americans learn about the coverage options available to them and then get enrolled into coverage, that we stick to that mission very, very closely. And we're doing that through two ways. The first way is trying to identify the best practices. So this panel today is kind of a dream come true for me because it's like a gold mine of people on the ground who are doing this work. And what we want to know is what's happening, what's working, what have we learned from other programs in the past, so that way we can build on those efforts moving forward. What barriers have people experienced to be kept out of health coverage? And then how can we make sure that moving forward, beyond the website, we're actually reaching consumers and getting them enrolled into coverage. Now, we're also working on a national campaign called the Get Covered America campaign. And because we have technology folks here, can you just tell me yes, no, good and back or not? Can you hear me okay? Is there a way to turn the microphone up? So what I want to do is talk real quick about what your state looks like, because where you live matters. And I'm stealing that quote from somebody yesterday in another presentation, but where you live really does matter, because how you apply and what's going on in your state and how the enrollment process is matters. So looking at this map, if it's in red, it means you have a state-based exchange. If it's in dark blue, it means that you are in a federally facilitated marketplace. The light blue, you're in a partnership. And the M is where there's some indication that your state is going to be doing a Medicaid expansion. So you've either passed legislation or you have a governor that has indicated that they support a Medicaid expansion. So, for example, in Michigan, you may have passed one, but it won't actually take place for a few more months. Other places, there's still in discussion of whether or not it will exist. But this is really important as we talk about what you can be doing. Regardless of what state you live in, there is work to do. And there's not a single person in this room that I don't think should walk away from this presentation without feeling like you have actionable items of ways to get involved. It doesn't matter what kind of exchange you have or whether or not you've had a Medicaid expansion. You have uninsured consumers living in your state who don't know how to apply or that coverage is available, which is really where you all come in. So just to lay the foundation, here's the vision, right? We're 30 days into the vision, but I promise you that what this looked like a month ago, what it will look like a month from now, and what it will look like a year from now is all going to be different. So I like to stay in this world of talking about the vision because we can always make it better, right? Like, what are we striving for? So at the baseline, single streamlined application. As a consumer, I can go online, I can call, I can use the phone, I can fill out a paper application, and I can experience this seamless process where I could be pregnant and go into one program, my kids could go into another, my husband could go into another, and it actually doesn't matter because I don't need to know any of the behind-the-scenes details. What I need to know as a consumer is how I apply, right? But we do know that in this streamlined world, it should be easy and simple and fairly fast. But how is it actually working? And this is where your state matters. And I want to take a second, highlight a handful of success stories. In Oregon, where their website is not even up and running yet, they put out a message a month beforehand saying, we're not going to be ready on time, so we're not going to launch. They've reduced their uninsured by 10% already. So they've had a reduction in their adult population by 10%. In Arkansas, they've had a reduction in the, of their uninsured by 14%, which is absolutely incredible. Kentucky is, I'm from the Northwest, feel a little upset that they're beating us right now, but Kentucky is leading the country in their success stories. They've enrolled over 32,000 people in health plans thus far, over 32,000, so it's over 1,000 people a day have been enrolled into plans. For healthcare.gov, over 700,000 people have created accounts. Now, we know that for healthcare.gov, raise your hand if you've heard about some of the glitches. Yeah, exactly. Clearly there's some issues. Hopefully they are being worked out. It's been an incredibly frustrating process for all of us. I prior to this, and what I've been saying for months, is October 1st is the beginning. So we know that what we've heard from the federal government is that the application will be up and running, and hopefully those glitches will be worked out by Thanksgiving. Regardless, what's happening on healthcare.gov will be very different, again, what we see at the end of this month to what we see at the end of open enrollment. We have, as consumers, until March 31st to apply for benefits. If this presentation was happening at the beginning of March, I would be freaking out about healthcare.gov. I actually don't really care whether or not somebody applies today or if they apply in a couple of weeks from now. Your coverage isn't going to start until January 1st, right? But what we need to make sure happens is that consumers know what they can do, that they know that they can set up their account, that they know where they can go for help, and that they know that there's coverage options available that will cover all the care that they need and that they can get financial help applying for it. That's what we need to be talking about. So Enroll America did national research last year where we looked at who are the uninsured, what do they know about the coverage options that are going to be available, what do they need to know, who do they need to know it from, because we wanted to know, if we're doing a national education campaign, who are we trying to reach? And we took all of that information and we compared that research to surveys that had been done by a handful of other groups such as the Robert Johnson Foundation, CVS, Blue Cross Blue Shield, as well as state-based exchanges, and overwhelmingly, there is some commonalities, and those common themes were that people want health insurance. They want it. We don't need to sell the value of it to people. What we know is they feel like they cannot afford it. And if they can, it's because it's not a very good plan. And that's where people are starting, aside from the fact that they don't know that they can apply for coverage. So there's a lot of skepticism out there among consumers about what their options are and where they can go to actually get coverage, or that they can even go somewhere to get coverage. What we also found is that at the end of the day, if you cut through all of the information, what people need to know are these four facts. So you're going to hear a lot of great strategies, a lot of great tactics, a lot of great things that you all can be doing. But when you think of your family and your friends and your coworkers and your networks that you exist in, these are the messages that I want you to take away, because these resonate with 89% of the population and 87% of the uninsured. And that's letting them know that coverage is available that will cover all the care they need, because they're starting from a place that, of not believing that. So the coverage will cover the care they need, like doctor's visits and maternity care and preventative visits, depending on who you're talking to, right? If you're talking to a 23-year-old male, don't talk about maternity care. Maybe talk about emergency room visits. But those essential health benefits, that's a little too wonky of a term to say to the average person, giving them examples of what it means. Here's what your care is going to be covered, or here's what will be covered with your care, and you might be able to get financial help to help pay for it. Because if it's that good of care, they are going to think they can't afford it. Also letting them know that the insurance plans will have to show the cost with no fine print. Anybody who has had to apply for coverage in the past knows that it is complicated and it doesn't make sense, and that you might think you're applying for one thing until you go to the doctor and you get stuck with a bill you didn't know was going to exist, right? So there's no more fine print. It's going to be an apples-to-apples comparison, and you're no longer going to be denied for a pre-existing condition, because people have tried to get in the past and they haven't been able to navigate the system. So these four messages, whatever you walk away from this whole conference with, these are the four messages that resonate with people, and that if you're thinking about what can you do, it's know these and share these. The other thing I would suggest is looking for who can people go to for help. So if you know those four messages and you're telling that to a consumer, to then be able to follow up and say, and by the way, you can go talk to Vanessa and she'll help you fill out the application. Because what we asked was, great, now that you've heard about the coverage options available, do you want help applying? Overwhelmingly, people said yes. And we said how, and they said in person. I do not believe that you're going to find 75% of people getting application assistance in person, but I think that we are all frustrated and we have been tired of trying to push buttons on a phone and figure out where I get to that live person. So I want to know there is somebody I can talk to if I want to, right? That gets me to this place of feeling like I am confident in my decision-making abilities. Because we also said, what's your experience been like applying for coverage? How did it make you feel? And they felt confused and overwhelmed and worried. And we said, well, what would you want it to look like? And that's where they said they want to feel secure and confident and reinsured. So we want to create that experience for consumers. So those four facts are the main things I want you to take away. That next step is knowing where people can go for help. So who actually provides help? In every state, those smaller bubbles exist, right? There has been some kind of public coverage program across the country where you either have Medicaid eligibility workers helping families apply, you have community-based organizations, there's insurance agents and brokers. Those have always existed. Now, these new bubbles, these are the bubbles that were created because of the ACA, and I want to do a deeper dive into the red bubble, into the green bubble. That one in the middle, that blue one, is for states that choose to do it. It's really just a funding stream. It's an important funding stream, but it's a funding stream. So navigators, that was that smaller bubble. Every single state in the country has these folks. There was grants awarded by the federal government. We tried to come up with a fun little acronym to make it easier for you guys to remember, which is easier. Everybody who is a navigator received some kind of funding to do this, and the strings attached to that funding stream involve making sure that they meet these five criteria. They have to be impartial. They have to do public outreach and education. They have to have expertise in Medicaid and CHIP and qualified health plans, right? So they have to receive some kind of training in order to meet this criteria. And I think that's really crucial to consider. And there's another category, and this was the outer rim of the bubble called certified application counselors. Now, this is a newer category, and this is where a lot of you guys can come into this. Because if you work for an organization that wants to do application assistance, right, you maybe already do it, you want to do it, you can become a certified application counselor in a federally facilitated marketplace, in a state-based exchange. And what this category does is allow you to take the training. So for navigators, all those criteria are a must. For certified application counselors, there's a lot more options than musts, right? You can do public outreach and education, but you don't necessarily have to do it. You must disclose conflict of interest, but that doesn't mean that you have to be completely impartial, right? You just must disclose that you're not. So it's the musts versus the options. The big difference, though, is that with navigators, there's funding streams. So navigators are required, therefore navigators have grants, there's a whole bunch of different payment models depending on your state, but they exist. Certified application counselors, on the other hand, can exist. There are creative funding streams out there that people are considering, but what you're not going to see is a grant for you to become a certified application counselor. Your organization could choose to, which means you choose to get the training, but it's a little bit different when looking at what you're required to do and where that funding stream comes from. So if you want to know how to find help in your area, you can look at healthcare.gov and type in where you live, because if you're not going to be a certified application counselor, but you do want to know who is locally, you can go here to find out more. So I want to highlight that there's a lot of different things that your organization can be doing. Yes, you can become a certified application counselor, but spreading the word, making it easy as possible for the people that you all interact with to know that coverage is available, to know where they can go for help, and to promote it is going to be just as essential because consumers don't know that this is coming. So I would suggest that you train staff on those four key messages, right? Train your colleagues on them. Let them know what that is. And then I fully acknowledge that if it's not within your scope of work, the chances of it getting done probably aren't very high because you are busy and you are overworked. So identifying your pre-existing systems. So do you have an on-hold feature on your phone? Could you leave a message on that on hold feature that says, you know, those four messages and go to healthcare.gov in order to learn more? Could you put a button in your email line that links to healthcare.gov? What can you do that you're already doing to make this as easy as possible for you to spread the word? And if you sit on coalitions, because especially with public health, I know that you are all partnering with other people in your community, can you share this information with people who are already in your network? So with that, I want to wrap it up so you can hear some very tangible, on-the-ground examples, and I think we're going to be holding questions for later. Thank you.